Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. So I have Cody Brown with me today. Welcome. So nice to meet you. Tell us a little bit about your business and what kind of got you here.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me on today. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here. So I run a company called Impact Agents. We're actually brokered through eXp, and we have a traditional team here locally in Michigan. And then we also have a nationwide organization, community, I would say, of agents that we sponsor and mentor and coach. Along with that, we have a title company that we own. We have a content online university that we own. So we dabble in a couple different areas of real estate.
Wow. Okay. So you got to tell me a little bit about this. What got you in the niche of not just building a team, but deciding to go to the title company side and the content creation?
Well, oh my gosh. So very, very long journey to get there. I mean, honestly, a lot of the things we're doing today, you would ask me 4 years ago, will you own a title company? I would have said no. Like, will you own a, you know, Airbnb? No. Like all the things we're doing today, I would have said no to 4 years ago. We haven't been in this industry, my husband and I, that long. I came from corporate America. He came from corporate America. We have three young girls. And we were at just a pivotal point in our lives that we were making a lot of changes that really kind of felt like we were kind of going with where we felt like God led us at the time. And we were moving closer to family, making career changes. At that time, I had actually been a stay-at-home mom for 4 years. And I said, well, I'm going to go get my real estate license. It always interests me. And at the core of it, quite honestly, if I'm really looking at foreshadowing in my life, and a lot of people do this, if I look back, I think I've always enjoyed real estate, but because we never owned any, like my mom was a single mom. I grew up in a very small town where we moved about 24 times by the time I graduated high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we lived in, you know, apartments, trailers, homes that we rented, but my mom still to this day has never owned a home on her own. And it was always something that interests me, you know, like as a kid, you think these big adult decisions, like buying a house, you think, oh, how do you get there? And, so I think I've always been really interested in it. I went to college, went into corporate America. I worked for JP Morgan Chase for years, and I worked my way up in corporate America. And I really thought, have you ever done this where you think like you're going to hit a certain point in your life and you're going to go, I've arrived. Like you keep waiting for that. I've arrived.
Yes. I did that in the medical field a lot.
So I kept waiting for it and it never showed up. I thought, you know, I moved from a banker to a manager to an advisor to sales trainer. And then here I was like at the pinnacle of my career there. I was the head of all of their national sales training and marketing. So I'm over 5,300 branches. You would think I would be like, oh my gosh, I've arrived, right? VP of the company. And I remember we were pregnant with our third daughter, and I said, like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like I had got everything that I wanted. I had a flexible schedule to some degree. I got to work from home. I made really good money, and I was really miserable. And so that's when I just kind of took a break. I stayed home with our girls for 4 years, and real estate just kind of kept coming back where I was like, this is something that has always interested me. Mm-hmm. I should check it out. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of how we started. And honestly, how we got where we are at today, with owning different lines of business and stuff, was just surrounding ourselves by the right people. There's a lot of people in our industry that are very happy doing solely transactions. And I was for a while. I think my my journey was a little abnormal. My very first year, I did over 50 transactions. And then I've done over 70 transactions every single year since organically. I've grown very fast. I've been very blessed in that manner. But it allowed me to burn out per se a lot quicker, where I'm like, okay, I've done the business that most people do in about 10 years in like three. And now I'm just tired. And it wasn't even that I dislike transactions anymore, but I wanted a new challenge. You know, I got to a place where I said, I'm really good at this. Like, I'm really good at what I do. I really want to find something else. So I went back into my Rolodex of all the things I said I would never do. I'm like, well, this one looks fun. So that's how we kind of evolved into branching out into more of a national brand, partnering with agents all over. I mean, if I'm being honest with myself, I think the moment that I started our brand Impact Agents, I daydreamed about having an agent that wanted to partner with us in like every state and every city, because our core platform is pouring back into the community. And I think that money is such a good motivator, but it doesn't have longevity to it, like impacting people's lives. And don't get me wrong, I've been broke and I've had money, and I much more prefer having money. I'm not allergic to it. But in our business, if you're only motivated by money, you will be very sad and very lonely many times. And so our core cornerstone of our business is really figuring out what sets your soul on fire, and like, what can you do to have the synergy between that thing you love and real estate and the people you serve? And then you can have a very lucrative business, really enjoying what you get to do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And that's something that you hear several people talk about, but I don't feel like it's talked about enough across the real estate industry, or just entrepreneurs in general, for people that want to get out of the corporate world, is finding that niche, right? I think so often we, especially in real estate, right, we do like what everybody normally does, which is transactions, right? And then same thing in your entrepreneurial world. Everybody's like, oh, I'm going to do this one thing, but it's such a huge category, instead of subcategorizing it down to what you actually enjoy. I mean, I did the same thing when I got into real estate. I was like, oh, I'm going to do transactions. I'm going to love this. And then I was like, no, but what I did, figure out was that I enjoyed helping other agents grow in their business and watching other people get to take off, because I can see things that, you know, a lot of people that are fantastic relationship building people just don't focus on that side, right? The organization side and the building of systems and stuff like that. So, and that's where I thrive, and to me, it's also easy, but I enjoy it because, like you said, it's a challenge, and it's a constant challenge for me, right? Because every person is different. And I feel like once you get into real estate, and for some people it's not, right? They still enjoy it, but you kind of, for some people, you get tired of the same challenge. It's just on a kind of a different, slightly different level, depending on your client and the person on the other side and the builder or whatever the case may be. So
the thing you just said, I think, is so key for so many people that are looking to get in this industry, or maybe they're looking to branch off on their own, kind of thing, that we make the mistake. We all do. I did it. You said you did it. Like, we make the mistake when we start going out on our own that we're like, we have a megaphone and we want to tell everybody about our business. We think everybody is our client. And that's the biggest mistake that you can make. Mm-hmm. You really have to go small in order to go big. And there are plenty of people out there that will love and seek out your specific niche of your business. I mean, I know an agent that like very specifically is in a town that's not like a booming metropolis, right? And her very, very specific niche is single moms buying homes, right? Like, that's a pretty specific niche. And she does fantastic. But we make the mistake when we're starting a business that we think, well, I'll just take anything. I just need to take anything.
Yep.
And it can work for a little while like that, but it really doesn't serve you, and it doesn't serve your long-term purpose to just take anyone. You'll be miserable. You really won't find what you're good at. You won't enjoy a lot of the times the people you work with. Mm-hmm. And so really building out, I would say, like the avatar, like your ideal client, your ideal, tribe that you want to work with, it's critical when you get started. And I think the other thing that you said there is that so many people forget is that you can do so much with a real estate license.
Yeah.
I think it's just transaction, but there's so much that you can do with it. That's, I think that's the thing that's served me, is I love a challenge. I am definitely a challenge junkie. I'm a change junkie. I love to say, like, okay, that, you know, when I got started in real estate, funny story, I went to my mentor at the time and I said, this is what I want to do. Like, I've back engineered these numbers. I need to make X amount of dollars, right? Mm-hmm. I think I told him my first year, I need to make $250,000. I said my very first year, because then I can retire my husband essentially. And we can do this together. We can have flexibility for our kids. I daydreamed about being able to walk our girls to school and pick them up and not have to answer to anybody. Right. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and chuckled and he was like, no one's ever done that. You're not going to do that around here. I mean, we're not in that big a town. Right. Wow. I was brand new. Yeah. But I also like to believe that the universe, God, whatever you believe in, knows how to motivate you. And somebody telling me you can't do something is like the best motivation that I needed.
Yeah,
I did hit that exact number, literally like to the penny, my very first year. But I think for a lot of us, we get bored with that then. And we forget that there's other things, you know, that you can do in your industry that can still serve you.
Yeah. And it's finding your purpose within it, right? Like you said, you enjoy helping your community, which I'd love to know a little bit more about that. But that's a huge part of it, right? Like, I know I worked with one agent and she really enjoyed walking dogs. And I was like, oh my God, why don't you incorporate that into your real estate business? And she was like, how on earth do you do that? And I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, you're already friends with like one of their favorite people, their dog, right? Like, that's a fantastic way to have a conversation and to start a relationship when they already trust you with that aspect. But I just don't think a lot of people see that. I don't think it's taught as much either until you really get into it and you start finding the right people or the right brokerage that does have those abilities to like really open up your mind to let you see all the possibilities.
Yeah. Well, and people think the minute you are trying to build a business, you have to stop living your life. Like, no, I'm building a business. It's like, I built a business with a 4-year-old strapped to my hip 90% of the time. Like, I built my business grabbing Happy Meals out of, you know, McDonald's drive-thru when I was handing them business cards all the time. Like, life is happening around you and we're in the people business. I don't care how much technology is out there. I get in this conversation all the time. I don't care how much you depend on Zillow, Realtor, lead generations. Okay, this is a people business and technology will never put realtors out of business. It just won't. So if you know, you're out there and you're already doing something you love, then continue doing that and start sharing with those people that you're also in real estate. That's literally the key component. I mean, I built our business, you know, picking back on what you were saying about our charity impact, we built our business originally. I served at the food pantry every single week. I served within our local charities 3 to 4 times a week locally. And I did that because I enjoyed doing that. Mm-hmm. And as well as there's people there. And guess what? Everybody has in common. They all have a need for shelter in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So I love that idea of like a dog walker, like how incredibly cool to then take that and unique. Like, we don't have to be super unique. It's funny because I'm actually running I have a 3-day organic growth challenge that I'm doing right now. I started it yesterday and we have today and tomorrow still. So if anybody ever goes back and watches this, they can go back and look at the archive on it. But there's a lot of people in there that are going, I don't know my unique talent. And I'm like, we criticize ourselves so much thinking we have to be the only one in the world that has a certain characteristic.
Yeah.
It's like, no, but you do have to talk about it. Like, if I can't articulate what makes me unique, then why would anybody else share my name and what I do for a living when I can't share it? You know, I'll tell people, well, you know, I'll say what makes me different is that I make an impact in our community through real estate. And people go, oh, but that's so unique. And I go, I thank you, but it's not, you know, I'm not trying to cut myself down, but I'm also trying to show you that you are unique enough to share with people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be something that no one else does. I'm sure there's other dog walkers out there, but at the same time, if that person leveraged that to say, you know, like, I'm your friendly, pet/whatever realtor, like, what a cool marketing platform that would be. That would be awesome.
Yeah. And it's easier too, to have a conversation with people that are in the thing that you love, right? Because you just naturally have conversations. I mean, if you think about it, if you love going to the gym, for instance, or a craft store, right? You're going to naturally gravitate toward people and probably end up having conversations because you're doing something that you enjoy and you want to spread that. So if you build that into your business, whatever it is, I mean, that's where you find the passion and the reason to keep pushing forward in it because you enjoy it so much as well, in my personal opinion. And like you said, you don't have to attract everyone. That's something that we all get stuck in. And because my perspective and how we're having this conversation may come out one way to one person. And then the very next person that listens to it hears something completely different and has an entirely different takeaway. It's the same words. It's the same sentence. It's just two completely different people and how they think and how they understand something. And to be honest, I mean, it's how you meet people. It's how you find the people that want to work with you, you know?
Right. No, absolutely. And I think that our ability to really hope, and this is cross lines, it doesn't matter what your industry is, but our ability to really hone in on what we enjoy, what in order to make money. Like, I think a lot of us do not take time to think about that and mm-hmm. then actually put steps in place to do it. There's plenty of money in the world. There's plenty of ways to make money in the world. Mm-hmm. Many of us, we don't enjoy what we do to make an income. And that is a travesty in our world. It's so sad because there is such an opportunity for you to literally build your life around you. But so many times we don't spend the time going, oh, I enjoy this. I mean, there are fellow realtors that I work with that, I mean, this sounds terrible, but they absolutely hate interacting with people. I'm going, why are you doing transactions? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Or people that absolutely hate managing people and now they're brokers. Well, now you're just a grown-up babysitter. Why would you do that job? You know, there's way too many options. And I think that the more you actually spend the time, but I think this is adulthood. Like, this is your trial membership of adulthood. We don't have enough time in the day, right? And then we don't figure out what truly sets our soul on fire. Mm-hmm. And so we get stuck in a rut and we exchange our time doing things that we don't like for money versus investing our time doing things we love for a great income.
Yeah, so true. And I don't think that we're taught that at a young age either. So for a lot of us, unfortunately, it's ingrained in us that money doesn't grow on trees. If you want to get somewhere, you've got to bust your ass in order to get there. Like, we are taught that in order to do anything that we would actually want to do or would make us happy, we have to die. We have to work our tails off and not live life and not do anything in order to get there. When in reality, if you really could focus on the things that you enjoy and figure out a way to incorporate that, it's weird. It's like the floodgates open and like just things flow to you, right? Like the right people and the right atmosphere and what you want to do. Like, all you have to do is embrace that. But that also means you have to let go of that worry as well. And that's a huge thing that's ingrained in people, right? Is, well, if you don't have a regular job, how are you going to make money? How are you going to do this? I mean, I know that for a while I did it to my kids based on my subconscious thinking until I had to start learning how to rethink how I saw things. And now I'm trying to teach my kids as an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old that, you know, there are things you can do. Well, do you enjoy doing this? Okay. Well, is that something you'd want to do for a living? You may have opportunities here, and kind of push them more in that direction. So they're not like me at freaking 35, just now starting to figure out what I enjoy in life. And I wasted all this time basically helping other people build their companies, and it didn't do anything for me. And then they can get rid of you on the drop of a hat, right? Because you're always replaceable.
Yeah. I mean, that's that beautiful statement by, I think it's Warren Buffett, right? If you don't build your dream, somebody else can hire you to build theirs. Like, the thing is so funny that we're having this conversation, because I have this conversation constantly. I'm on a soul mission to respectfully pretty much put Zillow out of business, because I don't believe in the paid lead generation. I think that the whole system of paid lead generation is built to, you know, take money from realtors, basically charge them. Then their CRM is utilizing and marketing to their own clients that they put in there. I just don't like the whole system. Mm-hmm. But I have this conversation that's very similar to what you said of like working for someone else and like that trust and that faith you have to have. And so I'm always thinking to myself when somebody says, well, I couldn't go work for myself, or, oh, I can't not have leads. I think you trust somebody else or some other system mm-hmm. more than you trust your own work ethic. So I just want to be really clear when we're having this conversation, you're telling me that you have shitty work ethic. Is that what you're telling me? Are you telling me that you don't like to show up for work, that you are lazy? Is that how you describe yourself? Because that's really, quite frankly, that is just the core of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. If at the end of the day, you're willing to do whatever it takes, you should always bet on yourself. Like, I'm not going to bet on a company. If nothing else, the folks that have lived over the last 10 years should look back to 2008, look back what happened with Bear Stearns, look back what happened to so many capital companies that fired thousands of tenured employees, thousands, right? Yeah. That had no backup plan and now have no retirement and have nothing. Like, I will never ever understand. And I think this is, I always joke with my husband, I always say I was probably really a bad employee my entire life, because I always was just looking for what the next thing was. Like, what's the next promotion? What's the next challenge? What's the next? Yeah. And I think that I always truly just wanted to work for myself. I don't think that I work for other people well. I don't like being told, like, one, what to do, or two, what the, like, kind of the cap on things are, mm-hmm. and or the ceiling. And I think that, to your point, I think it's really a sad thing that our generations, we have so many generations that have been told that's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, what's really disgusting is I started digging into this with our kids. My husband and I both have private college educations. I was the first person in my family to go to college, literally never used my college degree. How fun is that? Yeah. And then now neither one of us do, right? We run a brokerage. So, but what's interesting to me is here we are only one generation later, and we're telling our girls, like, yeah, college is great. If you want to go for a trade, if you want to go for a specific education, you know, yeah. that otherwise, if you're just go, like when I went 20 years ago, it was, you were just going to go. Like, you're yeah. just going to get a piece of paper.
Yep.
And I don't agree with that anymore. I think it's such a falsehood that somebody can go at 18 years old and get $100,000 in student loan debt, but we can't go to a bank and get a $10,000 business loan. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is you can step out on faith and your own work ethic, and you can build something. I mean, we have landscapers that are, you know, making six figures at 18 years old, right? Mm-hmm. So there's opportunity out there. It's yeah. just, you have to be willing to bet on yourself for sure. And yep. it's scary. I'm not going to lie about that. It's scary, but I would bet on myself and my own work ethic all day long over someone else's.
Yeah. So true. And that's, and you know what, it's funny because I went to college the same thing, right? Like, when I went, it was, you know, oh, well, if you want a good paying job, right, you have to have the degree behind you, because otherwise nobody will hire you. And then you got the degree, and then it was, oh, well, we can't hire you because you don't have the experience. Well, I got the degree so that you would hire me so I could get the experience. So if you won't give me the experience, how am I supposed to, like, so it was just this, it was horrible, right? And especially getting in the medical field, that's what everyone kept telling me. Well, you need experience. Well, who's going to give it to me then? You guys told me I needed a degree to be able to apply for this. Now I'm applying for it and you won't even give me a chance so that I can have the experience. So, and I tell my kids the same thing, like, unless it's something that you really want to get into, like my oldest one loves mechanics, you know, I'm like, obviously you need certifications and stuff for that. Fantastic. Like, go do that, but don't do what I did and put yourself in $40,000+ in debt. And just like you, I don't use my degree now. I was in the medical field, right? And I enjoyed it to a degree until I also learned the back end, and especially in America, how much the doctors make and how much the nurses and their staff are the ones that actually run their business, and they do not get taken care of. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure there are some people out there that are different, but in my personal experience and a lot of people that I talked with, it's the doctor who's got this degree that comes in for 5 minutes, has a conversation, walks right back out, and the nurse comes in and does everything. And yet they are the ones that work their tails off and they don't make anything compared to what they do. And I get, right, people are like, oh, but it's because he went to school. I get that, but there's also a space of respect for the people that uphold your business. And I think as entrepreneurs, we get the chance to be able to do that because we get to choose who we want to work with. And I know, like for me personally, when I start bringing on VAs, I'm going to make sure they're taken care of, because if they're taking care of my business and I get to leverage having more time because of them, I'm going to make sure that they're getting what they need, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to run the things that I can.
Absolutely. It's so funny that you say that, because it's not very much different when you think about it from almost every single industry, right? So in banking, it would be the same way. It would be like all the bankers and then the manager and the district manager. And then, in real estate, it's similar, right? So typically, I say that with the exception of where we're at with EXP, because quite frankly, we're such an agent focused model that mm-hmm. I can give every agent that I sponsor, they can literally make more money than I make. Mm-hmm. But in traditional world, that's how it is. All the agents are out there, just like the nurses, just like the, you know, and yeah. then the broker is the one that you typically never see and is making all of the money. That's what's always funny to me. When people will talk about I have a ton of folks that are friends of mine that get into direct sales or MLMs or whatever. And, mm-hmm. I have nothing but love for them. One, if you don't do your homework, you'll know that they have more six-figure earners than any other industry every single year. More women make great money in them. I was actually in a network sales when I stayed home with our girls for a short period of time, and I loved it. And within 6 months, I was making 10 grand, month after month, staying home with our babies, you know? So I got nothing but love for direct sales. The funniest thing to me, though, is everything you just mentioned about healthcare, everything I know about real estate in its traditional form, it looks identical to what everybody constantly talks about being a pyramid scheme. And I'm just always like, no, I literally had one of those in corporate America. Like, I was never going to make more money than my boss in corporate America. Yeah. Like, that is a thing, like legit.
Yeah.
And at least I had the opportunity when you're in some kind of, you know, entrepreneur self employment status where you can make more than those around you a lot of times, the way the structures are. So, and you're like, to your point, if you're hiring support folks, you're able to actually take care of them versus feel like, you know, the doctor gets all the glorification while the nurses do all the grunt work.
Yeah. That's a huge thing. So, and I love that. So tell me a little bit too about, cause I know that from other people that have recommended you as well, I've really talked about what you do in your community. I would love to touch base on that and give us a little bit of insight, because I love to be able to give back. And one of my goals is once I have my business to a standpoint of where I have it, I really want to work with those that have been in, the domestic violence, because I was in an abusive relationship for 8 years. So it's very close to my heart. And I know how much it takes and how much struggle it is to not only deal with something in a physical capacity, but a mental capacity as well, especially if you're coming out of things like that, like I did with two young children. So it's very close to my heart. So being able to use my business, I get to help other people. So I want to hear about what it is you guys do.
Well, I love you sharing that. And what an amazing opportunity going forward for you to be able to leverage that. I think that's probably how mine started. Again, I think that my journey to get here was a long, long journey, but, it started off with just wanting to be part of some of these local charities. When I was growing up, I was the kid that was at the food pantry, right? I was the kid that at times had to utilize some of these services. Mm-hmm. And so that always stayed near and dear to me, because I can remember the look on some of those people's faces and how nice they were and how grateful I was as a kid. And the other part of that was, though, I wanted to give back when we got started, but Ty and I, when we got started in real estate, I literally started and then his job got eliminated within like a month after. And so he did not have the income to really give back monetarily. we gave back with time, which mm-hmm. the funny part of this journey now, years later, is now we have the opposite problem where we don't have as much time to give. And quite frankly, out of the two, you know, nonprofits, charities, they need both to run, but I will tell you, hands on deck and time is probably their biggest commodity. Mm-hmm. Every single charity we work with knows more about the time that we've showed up for them versus the money we've given them. But it was always something near and dear to my heart to want to be there because I was that kid. And two, I was just telling an agent that was in here, I said, I'm not going to lie and say every time I'm just like pumped up, super excited to go do all the things with all of the charities. Because it's just human nature, but sometimes it's like the gym, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want to go. But by the time I'm done, yeah. I'm always so, my cup is so full. I'm so happy that I spent, whether it's that 30 minutes or that 2 hours, do whatever it is that you yeah. just feel so much better. Now on my business side of my head, because again, I was in sales and marketing for years. Like at the end of the day, this is just smart business. It just is, because I'm already out in the community mm-hmm. and we keep ours very localized. So everything we do is to our local communities around us. That's where people live. That's where people are buying and selling houses. From a business standpoint, it's a no-brainer. Why would I not yeah. want to find opportunities to be out rubbing elbows with people in my community? Duh. Mm-hmm. Like, right? but the other piece of it is, in our world, the number one challenge of every realtor is to become known, right? Everybody knows a realtor. Mm-hmm. They're a dime a dozen. The good ones aren't, though. They're real diamonds. But every single realtor, their biggest challenge is to not be an undercover agent. I think many of us get a real estate license and we think, okay, now I'm ready for everybody to show up at my door saying they need to buy and sell a house. And that's just not what happens.
Yeah.
So you have to get out there. Now, there's only two ways for that to happen. They boil down to time or money. Most agents, when they start, they don't have any money. Mm-hmm. So now it boils down to time. Well, now you only have 24 hours in the day. So how am I going to reach the most masses without burning myself out and actually still having a little bit of time for myself or my family or to fine tune my skills, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, the charity piece, money wasn't an option because you're going to, you know, spend all this money on billboards, commercials, everything else. So now it was time, but I go, I don't have time to just meet with everybody one-on-one. So yeah. that's where the charity component came in. I'm like, okay, I'm filling my cup back up. This is something I actually, if I never got paid a dime, I would enjoy doing this activity mm-hmm. once in a while. Right. And now I'm also ready to get, I'm able to get in front of the masses instead of just one-on-one trying to qualify a person that might or might not buy a house in the next year. Yeah. Now I'm in front of 20, 30, 40, 50 people every mm-hmm. single time that know I'm in real estate and know that I have something in common with them. Okay, well, I serve here and she serves here. And now they're more likely to share my name. So yeah. I constantly said as I coach and mentor agents, I said, your goal isn't to go find buyers and sellers. That's actually the biggest obstacle that I think many agents waste their time on. Your goal is not to go find buyers and sellers. Your goal when you get started is to go find people that will be megaphones for your business, right? Because you go find one buyer, one seller, you're unemployed every time you close.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's great. That's a short-term high. I don't want that in my business on mm-hmm. multiple occasions because I'm just going to burn myself out because yeah. now I'm always going to have to go find another buyer, another seller. But you have to go find who's going to be a megaphone for your business so that they can repeat the cycle for you over and over and over again. And the only true people that will stay megaphones for you are people that know your impact. They know the kind of person you are. Like somebody might refer you, you know, one deal, maybe two deals. Mm-hmm. But like our top eight clients, I mean, we have people that have referred us 12, 15 clients.
Wow.
That's the kind of impact that you want. But you don't get that from marketing ads. You don't get that from billboards. You don't get that from, and you also don't get it from just being part of your community one time. You've got to show up over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was, I mean, that is how I really formed Impact Agents from the get-go. Was I looked at the avatar of, okay, who are the people I want to be in front of? I want to be in front of other people that care about our community. I just do. Like, I want that to be a common denominator. People that yeah. enjoy our schools, our churches, our nonprofits, the people that, you know, maybe they don't have the money to donate there, but they have the time to donate there. That's my jam. Those are my people. And then I said, okay, how is it the easiest way to get in front of them? Well, it's to be right alongside of them. Right. And then in the beginning, I never told people I was even in real estate. What I did do, and I'm not wearing one today, but I highly recommend I'm not good. Like now I am, I'm not good at necessarily talking about myself, but I'm happy to talk about what I do for other people in hopes that it'll bring somebody along with me to do it too. Right. So when I would share with people, you know, I'm in real estate and what makes me different is that I pour back into the community. I would want to invite them into that conversation. But in the beginning, I just wore a t-shirt everywhere, 24/7. I had like a black one and a red one. Right. And they would say, you know, impact agents on there. So people would say, well, what is that? You know, and it would start a conversation when I was serving at these places. So you can wear your marketing if you're not good at bringing up the conversation.
I love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really our cornerstone. And still to this day, I'm so fortunate because I said, you know, the market shift and balance that we're going through now, I think it's impacted a lot of agents that have depended on a lot of like the lead sources, and our transaction volume is exactly where it was last year. We're actually growing a little bit. And that's the kind of business you have when you build a business off of impact, off of referrals.
Yeah.
If you build one that's off of lead generation, just like we talked about, you're at the mercy of somebody else versus being at, you know, being that community centered person that people see all the time.
Yeah, that's so true. I love that. And thank you I love that. And you hear, I've heard several people talk about, you know, like that they go to their kids' basketball games and stuff like that. And so they always have something on that, you know, because they're involved in it. Why not? Right. Like my oldest one, for the longest time, he would keep cards with him. And if he was talking to teachers, he'd pass cards out. Like, and I was like, yes, like it's my little cheerleader. And I think it's fantastic, but it's someone that they know or they're already dealing with already. Right. And I feel like that relationship piece of it is definitely going to get you further than, like you said, just a billboard. I mean, yes, don't get me wrong. I'm sure people that are on billboards get their people, and they unfortunately have to sift through everyone that's actually serious.
Right.
Versus when you are doing it more in an organic way, you're hitting a lot more people, and it may be a smaller group, but it's people that are going to convert a lot better than just this huge mass of people that either one are not going to convert, or two, you probably don't want to deal with 25% of them anyway.
Well, and the other thing is, because I'll have agents that are so blunt with me and they say, I'm just, you know, I like leads. They're easy. And I'll say, they're not, you know, a lead and a referral are exactly the same. They're just opposite. Both are easy. Both are hard. Mm-hmm. You know, a lead is easy to get and hard to convert to a client. A referral is harder to get and so easy to convert to a client. When the minute they call you because they've been referred by somebody, they're your client. They're signing papers. They're working with you.
Yeah, no, that makes so much sense. I love that. And I think you can use that across whatever business that you're in, right? I mean, even in my consulting, I don't do ads and things like that. It's been word of mouth and people that see what I can do, and therefore they want to make sure that other people know about it. I really agree with that. So tell us then, I always like to add to end with a couple of things of positivity. What is one piece of advice or a tip that you would give to somebody in business or personal, doesn't matter, but just something you would like to leave someone with?
I always tell folks that ignorance on fire will outperform knowledge on ice, meaning you don't have to know everything to get started, right? Mm-hmm. My first year in real estate is a classic case of this. I did not know everything. I still don't. But you have to go out and you have to perform. There are people, no matter what your industry is, they collect all the information. Well, I have to digest every YouTube video on this. I have to read every book on this. Yep. I have to know, you know, it comes easy for me because I'm not really the super analytical person, but even for my folks that are, like, analysis paralysis kills more dreams than anything I've ever seen. Because the minute you start analyzing, I promise you, you will get to a place of doubt. Confidence comes by doing. Doubt comes from overanalyzing. Mm-hmm. So you have just got to be that excited ignorance on fire and get out there and start doing in order to get some success under your belt.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I so agree with that, regardless of what industry that you're in. That is a huge one, because you can always learn, and everybody has to start somewhere in order to learn. We're not born with the skill, right?
Right.
So, right. I love that. True. We think we are sometimes. What do you have a phrase or a saying or anything that you positively use? Impact people or those around you, or something that helps you positively?
Well, we lean a lot on our faith a lot of times, especially when things get hard. And I always tell folks, you know, God thought it was important. God don't make no junk, and thought this world needed a you, right? And so I think that we are quick to diminish our own talent, our own worth, because of the devil hides in the comparison, right? And so I always like to lean on the fact that you're here for a reason, right? And God thought it was important enough for this world to have you. He didn't make no junk, so you better get out there and start believing it,
right? I love that. That is fantastic. I'm going to tell my kids that now. So Cody, where can we find you? Where can people connect with you?
So I'm across all of the social platforms, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, on TikTok or LinkedIn, as Cody Brown Realtor, and Cody is just COTI. But Instagram is the one place where you will typically get me answering if you message as well. Okay. And there's a whole, basically like a link tree on there if you're wanting to get to know a little bit more about myself or other, you know, different courses and content that we have that you are welcome to.
I love that. Thank you so much. And I'll be sure to include it in the show notes as well, so everybody can find you. So thank you so much for your time, Cody. I love what you're doing for your community as well. And impacting the agents. And I love that, impact agents. I think that's fantastic. So to anybody else that's out there listening, I hope you guys got some amazing takeaways today. Be sure to connect with Cody, and remember that you're only trying to impact your small circle. It doesn't have to be the entire world. And you can impact so many people by just starting there. So to everybody that's listening, until next time, have a fantastic day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media, and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.